We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now and guide us as we meditate upon another section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. We pray that you open the treasures which are hidden in Scripture to us as only you can do, and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Acts chapter 3, the opening 10 verses, the beautiful gate. Starting out, the Holy Spirit mentions a certain man. And we have here an account of a miracle performed by the Holy Spirit through Peter and John as they were going into the temple of God. The miracle was performed on a certain man, and he is kind of the center of attention in this account. We can't help but wonder just who he was. And I feel pretty sure that we know. Very often when the Holy Spirit writes about a certain person, he is writing about someone who's a type of one of God's elect, a member of that very small remnant chosen by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in eternity past. Those who will reign with Jesus Christ as his perfect bride forever in his kingdom of glory. So, when we read of a certain man early in the book of Acts here in chapter 3, we can put our own name into the slot. This is your story and mine. So, if we have eyes that can see and ears that can hear, we'll learn a lot about ourselves in verses like this. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And so very early in what we call the first generation of the Christian church, the disciples and apostles could go into the temple without any opposition. At this point, still the enemy was in hiding. And so Peter and John go in there, and the Holy Spirit tells us that it was the ninth hour. This is a time reference. Time references in the Bible are always extremely important. And when we think of the ninth hour, we can't help but think of Luke chapter 23, verse 44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. So we immediately recognize this account is of the 3 hours of darkness that covered the whole world when Jesus hung on the cross. The ninth hour was the time when the darkness ended and the sun began to shine on the earth again. We can't help but think of the words of Genesis 1. Let there be light. And there was light. So time references in Scripture are always very important, and there are many of them. We should pay very close attention to these things. A certain man. So here we have the mention of a certain man who is a type of God's elect. So what do we learn about this certain man? Well, he was lame from his mother's womb, and he was carried. This is a sad picture. He was a cripple. He could not walk. He had to be carried, and this was his condition from his mother's womb. And spiritually speaking now, this was your condition and mine. Scripture clearly teaches that we were conceived and born in sin. And David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. And this is what we call original sin. It was inherited from Adam when he rebelled against God. And people say, well, this isn't fair. Well, yeah, it is fair. And the truth of the matter is that we were all partakers of this because all of us were in Adam's loins when he rebelled against God and fell into sin. So we were there. And the old writer has it right. In Adam's sin, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. So, this is fair. God is not unfair. And this is what Scripture says. So this baby here had trouble even trying to crawl, let alone walk. His parents never had the joy of seeing him take his first step because he never took one. He couldn't do it. As we learn later, this condition lasted for some 40 years. And looking at his childhood, what a childhood it must have been. He couldn't play ball with the other boys in the neighborhood. He had to sit at the curb and watch while they were having fun playing out in the street. But he couldn't do it. When his brothers and sisters ran to open the presents under the tree at Christmas, he was left behind. He couldn't do it. And this was a condition that lasted for 40 years. It's never going to change if it doesn't change now. The number 40 in Scripture indicates a time of decision-making. It's a time of testing. And if the test isn't passed by the 40th year, it's not going to be passed. Moses was on the mount 40 days and 40 nights. During that time, God was talking to Moses, and the people were being tested. At the end of 40 days and 40 nights, when Moses left the mountain and went down to the bottom of it again, the people had not passed the test. They were worshiping the golden calf. Goliath went down to challenge the army of Israel for 40 days. Send a man down to fight with me. Choose one. You'll be represented by your man. I'll represent the Philistines. One of us is going to die. For 40 days, he issued the challenge. For 30 days, there was no answer to it. But on the 40th day, there was a shepherd named David. He took up the challenge. And you know the rest of the story. But you get the impression that if that hadn't happened on the 40th day, Israel would have been lost. So 40 is a very important number. And this man was being carried to the gate of the temple when he was 40 years old. Time is running out. So what is he going to happen? The Bible describes this, that whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple. He had some friends that loved him enough that every single day, for most of his life, they carried him to the gate of the temple. The gate was called Beautiful. And they laid him at this gate in order to allow him to ask alms of the ones who were entering into the temple. So he probably felt this was a good place to be, because people that were entering the temple would probably have compassion on him and give him some alms. That was so. It was a decent place, and the gate was called Beautiful. It must have been beautiful, but he couldn't go through it. He couldn't go into the temple. He had to lay there and beg. And he did this for most of his 40 years. The beautiful gate, I believe, is a beautiful type of Jesus. He calls it a door. I am the door. I'm the only way into heaven. If anyone wants to get to heaven, they've got to walk through me. And this guy couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. He was lame from his mother's womb. A terrible, terrible situation. So, and remember, he's 40 years old. This is his last chance. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. So he figured, I'm going to get some big bucks out of this, probably gold and silver. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. So this was a day that started out like many of the days in the 40 years of his life. And if you can get some money and gold and silver right off the bat here, the day will be off to a good start, as good as it can be for somebody that can't walk. So then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Can any good come out of Nazareth? That was the saying. And there wasn't much good that came out of it, but what did come out was extremely precious. Jesus Christ of Nazareth in Galilee. And he took him by the right hand, Peter did, and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So the lame man was after silver and gold, but he got an awful lot more than what he was asking for. More than he could ever hope to even guess would happen. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. Finally, walking and leaping and praising God. What a change. And it happened by the beautiful gate. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. For more than 40 years he'd been there every day, and they knew him. They recognized him. And now he's in the temple, and jumping up and down and walking. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. So now for him, the beautiful gate was not only something to look at. Now, after 40 years of his life, he was able to walk through that beautiful gate into the temple of God and enjoy that people saw him walking, leaping, and praising God. So one of the things that arrests our attention is the beautiful gate. And some people believe, many believe, that the beautiful gate was made of bronze. And they say that bronze is a metal that has been used since prehistoric times. It's an ancient metal and has acquired a complex and profound spiritual significance. If it's a type of Christ, Christ was in existence before the foundation of the world. He's eternal. and he's beautiful. As a metal, bronze symbolizes the spiritual world, but also financial wealth. Because of its useful properties, bronze was used to make religious items such as bells, scepters, and statues, and also coins and medals. I'm reading from what somebody else wrote, you know that. Bronze is also prized for its durability and resistance to corrosion. It's one of these types of Christ from the volume of nature. As a color, bronze symbolizes warmth and comfort, but also prosperity and abundance. It's often associated with power, success, and bravery, making it a popular choice for awards, trophies, and military medals. And this was a beautiful, beautiful gate. There was nothing else like it. And for 40 years, the man could look at it. But it was rather a mockery to him because he couldn't walk through it. He couldn't walk through it. We can't help but think of the brazen serpent in Numbers 21. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned." Well, they had that part of it right. And God had sent a judgment upon them, and the judgment was that fiery serpents would come in among the people and bite them, and the people would die from the poison. That was the judgment. And at least the people had enough insight to realize that this was God's judgment against their sinning, so they somewhat at least repented. "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee, Moses. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, and he didn't take the fiery serpents away, but he gave them a remedy. And he said to Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." But it had to be a look of faith. So Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And this was the account that Jesus referred to when he said in John 3:14, which is close to John 3:16, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever looketh on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In Revelation, the picture is this way of the bride, Revelation 12, verse 14. "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent." And the wilderness is that great and terrible wilderness that you and I are living in. And we are living in the most dangerous time in all history. It's so dangerous, the Holy Spirit tells us, that if it were possible, the very elect would be lost. And most of the dangers, not coming from China or Russia or Iran or whatever, it's coming from the visible outward church. The church is in a worse condition now than it ever has been before. And as good as it may look sometimes, it's terrible We can't even begin to imagine how dangerous it is in the outward visible church. The corruption is so bad, it can't be reversed. It can't be. It's beyond the step of repair. You've got to leave. Spiritually, at least, you've got to leave, or you're not going to make it. Christ has been evicted from the church, and he's left it. So if there are elect there, by the grace of God, they're going to see what's happening, and at least spiritually come out. Get out of it. It's so dangerous, you can't begin to imagine. There's a term that really sums up the section of scripture that we're looking at today. And I'm going to read a couple verses that point that out. And I'm going to start by looking ahead a little bit to one of the elect bride of Jesus Christ. And her condition is described in Song of Songs, also called the Song of Solomon. And twice it mentions that she was seeking for her loved one, which is Jesus Christ. And in Song of Songs, chapter 3, verse 1, she says this: "By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth." I sought him, but I found him not. She couldn't find him. She's seeking, but she can't find him. In Song of Songs, chapter 3, verse 2, "I will rise now and go about the city, in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth." So now she's not laying on the bed anymore. Now she's going out and searching in the country round about. "I sought him, but I found him not." So we look at these two verses, and it seems outwardly so impossible. She is seeking, but she's not finding. And but she, you know, Jesus said, "Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." Well, she's doing that, but she's not finding. But the correct translation would be, "Keep on asking and ye shall receive. Keep on seeking and ye shall find. Keep on knocking and it shall be opened unto you." So her condition is not desperate at all. She loves her Savior, and she is seeking for him. And even though she can't find him, she keeps on seeking. And she keeps on doing that. And you read the Book of Solomon, Song of Songs, and she'll find him. But her condition is one of danger, seeking and not finding. It's a test. So you look at the man in our text, his condition is much worse. He wasn't seeking. He couldn't. He was a cripple. He had to be carried wherever he went. Him go out and seek, he couldn't do it. It was an impossible situation until the Lord God entered the picture. And then you go to Isaiah chapter 65, verse 1. And this is Jesus talking. This is the words of the Son of God, whom the bride is searching for. And Jesus says this. This is Isaiah 65, verse 1. I am sought of them that were seeking for me but couldn't find me. No. I was sought of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. And he's talking about the Gentile people here. Your family tree and mine. And the desperate situation we were in, and even the elect originally, we weren't seeking for Jesus. We weren't looking for him. But he found us. He found us. We didn't find him. And then in Romans chapter 10, verse 20, but Isaiah, that's Isaiah, but it's the Old Testament Isaiah. Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. So this would be a definition of grace and mercy if ever there was one. You know, living in a world of darkness where there is no light whatsoever, if there would be one candle that was burning somewhere out in the boonies, and we were struggling through the darkness and walking through it, trying to find light, if we were walking, trying to find it, at least there would be a minute chance that we'd stumble on the candle that was burning. But that's not the picture Scripture gives. The picture Scripture gives of us spiritually is that we were sitting in darkness. And if you're sitting in darkness, even if there would be a lit candle somewhere in the world, you'd never have a chance of finding it. The light has to find us, not us finding the light. And that should be a cause of humbleness and repentance every day. This story of the man that was born as a cripple could never take a step in his life. He had to be carried somewhere. That's your story and mine. And thank God that he chose us among that very small remnant before the foundation of the world. And it is impossible that even one of God's elect could be lost. This man was lost until the final 40th year, but he was found.